There's one page. We'll throw that over here. 1 John chapter 2, and we'll go ahead and pray and get into the lesson. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for all that you give us, Lord, for your words and your songs. And Father, we're just so grateful for those. And Father, we pray, Lord, that we would just have eyes to see and ears to hear what you want to tell us today. Maybe we need some help, Lord. We do. We all need help, and we need you to help us, and we pray that you would just do that, and we pray these things for Christ's sake. Amen. I'll start in verse 1. My little children, we see who he's talking to here. He's talking to saved people. These things write unto you that ye sin not, and if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. We went through that business about this advocate up in heaven pleading our cause, and he is a propitiation for our sins, and not only for ours only, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And so what Christ has done is good for everybody, everybody. For those that trust in him and those that haven't trusted in him, if they will trust in him. Okay? And so it's there, it's available, and it's ready to pardon. He's ready to pardon. Verse 3, and hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Again, he's talking to little children. And there's going to be times in a Christian's life where if they get into sin, and while they're sinning, they don't know the Lord Jesus, and they choose not to know him. Because if you want to know Jesus, and you want to be with him, and you want to be talking to him, you're not going to be sinning, okay? And the Bible says, verse 4, he that saith, now look at what he said in verse 3, he says, we. And now he says, he that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar. And the truth is not in him. Now, folks, if I say that I know Jesus Christ while I'm sinning, I'm only saying that with my mouth, right? You're only saying it with, you're not, your heart isn't in it. Because if you really love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, you're not going to be saying that and sinning. You're going to be saying that and not sinning, right? But if I say that, it's only with my mouth. And it's a lie to say, if I'm a Christian, to say that I love the Lord Jesus Christ, it's a lie while I'm sinning. If I say that while I'm sinning, it's a lie, folks. It's a lie. If you knew the Lord, if I knew the Lord, we would love him. We would love him. And if you loved him, and I loved him, we wouldn't want to do anything that would cause him to not to want to have fellowship with us. That's where true love is. You don't want to do anything that pushes somebody away. You don't want to do that. You want to be close. You want to be near. And so whenever we break God's commandments not to sin, we choose not to love God while we're doing that. Does that make sense? Does that kind of make sense? Okay? And not to know him. Now this verse, folks, has to be talking about some specific commands. And when I say that, I'm talking about commandments for salvation. And we went through that a little bit the last time we met. A saved person, folks. And the reason why I say that is because the Bible says here, he that saith I know him and keepeth not his commandments is a liar. There's a big difference between somebody that lies and somebody that is a liar. Okay? And the Holy Spirit knows these differences. And in the legal realm, when you start analyzing words, every word has a meaning, and the Holy Spirit knows this. And you and I can lie, but we as Christians, as saved people, I'm talking saved people. As saved people, we can lie and not be called a liar. Why? The Bible says that all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire. Revelation. Revelations 1, or 21, 8. We'll go there and read it. This isn't something I'm making up here. The Bible says, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Okay? Now think about it for a minute. Some want to take this term, commandments here, and apply it to only tribulation saints, right? And say that the Ten Commandments and the commandments found in Revelations 12, 17, and the commandments found in Matthew 24 about, being good to the Jew and feeding him and clothing him in the tribulation, right? But listen, a person in the tribulation will not be able to keep the Ten Commandments. They won't be able to keep unless they have had repentance toward God and faith toward the Lord Jesus. And we went through this before, and all those that don't obey the gospel, when Christ returns, they get destroyed. God takes out his vengeance, 2 Thessalonians. And it's very clear, they don't obey the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they get burned up. He's coming back with his mighty angels taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? And so, so doctrinally, this applies to both people now and in the tribulation, folks. And in the tribulation, and probably in the millennium. I don't know how to apply it there, but I'm sure it is. You have Jesus Christ sitting on a throne, and you don't have any prophets, and he speaks. I'm sure he's opening up his mouth saying something to people. They're coming and visiting him once a year, right? And I'm sure he's saying something to them. Somehow, they're getting the information from Jesus. Whether it's broadcasted or through his words, his words are going to be there forever. They're not going to pass away, right? And so, and faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Yeah, sure, you can see him, but are we listening to him? Do we hear what he says? Do we believe what he says? The words are still coming, right? They're still there. You still get faith by the words of God. If the Bible says it does. And so, millennium, guy doesn't have faith in Jesus Christ. At the end, he's going into the lake of fire, folks. He's going into the lake of fire. And so, doctrinally, we can apply this to them. But look, if you would, in Matthew 7. Matthew 7, 3. He that keepeth not his commandments. Matthew 7:3. What do we got there? The Bible says, and why beholdest thou the... Is that it? I don't know why I got that there. I don't know why I got that there. But anyway, maybe it's 17. No. Anyway, where was I going with this? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But God, he isn't obligated to get any more faith to a person He's not obligated to get any more faith to the person until they believed enough to repent. You have to have believed enough that you're a sinner. You have to have believed enough that there's something you've done wrong against the Creator. You have to repent. And so he that says he knows Christ has never repented. And that has never repented doesn't have faith toward the Lord Jesus, folks. He can't have faith toward the Lord Jesus because he's never passed the first step. And that first step is believing that you've done something wrong against the Creator. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And so he won't have faith towards the Lord Jesus, and he is a liar, because he's saying he knows Christ, right? You can't know him unless you've repented towards God. That's a commandment. God's commanded every man everywhere to repent. And so without that repentance, you don't get the faith towards the Lord Jesus. It doesn't come. He's not obligated to get it to you. And you won't believe it because it doesn't come your way. You haven't believed the first portion. So you don't get the second portion. And so, but saved people cannot be called liars, but they can lie. The Bible is very specific about these things. If a person has faith toward the Lord Jesus, he's had repentance at some point in his life, and the truth is in him, folks. But what 1 John is talking about here, the Bible says, he that saith, I know him. Okay, if you know Jesus Christ, you can't be called a liar. You can't be thrown into the lake of fire. And when Christ comes back, you know him. Right? He that knoweth in flaming fire taken on vengeance, that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know him. You've obeyed that commandment. You've had repentance towards God. That's how you know him. How do you have faith towards the Lord Jesus Christ? You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And so, what does Jesus Christ say about himself? He says in John 14:6, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Again, there's a big difference in the doctrinal application of the verses versus the practical application of these verses. And for us, for you and I, the reason why saved people have trouble with verses like this one is because, and I'm guilty of it, we don't always make the proper divisions, folks. And maybe I'm not making it here now. But I do know this, liars are all going to go into the lake of fire. And the Lord never refers to the Christian or saved individual as a liar, folks. Otherwise, I'd be there. I'd be there. And so there's a division that has to be made. And so what is this talking about? It has to be talking about commandments of salvation. It has to be. Because it's commanded for everyone everywhere to repent. It is a commandment. Not only that, but it is a commandment for everyone to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll go real quick to 1 John 3:23. And you'll see this is a commandment. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. Okay? It's a commandment, folks. And so there are certain commandments where you can say all you want. Look at what I've done. Look at here. Look at this. I know it's Matthew 7. It's got to be. Where the guy, he says, Lord, Lord, have we not done all these things? And I know it's here somewhere. Yeah. Verse 7:22, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. And so it's not enough just to say, I know the Lord. There are some commandments that you have to obey for you to say that and not be considered a liar in God's eyes. One of which is repentance towards God. He's commanded every man, every word to repent. The other one is the commandment to believe on the name of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? And so that's where I'm going with this. That's how I'm basically interpreting that, because how else can you interpret it? If you keep the Ten Commandments, all of them? Nobody does. Nobody does, but everybody can repent. And everybody can trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you going to always, once you're saved, are you going to always yield to the Spirit? No. Although the power is there for you to do that, do we always do that? No. We're warring against the flesh and against the Spirit. And so we just have to understand that application here. And if you come up with the wrong application, then you start saying that Christians can lose their salvation. Look, they can lose it. They don't know Him. The truth is not in them. And he's a liar now because he's not keeping all the commandments, and now he's going into the lake of fire. Or if you believe the Bible and you believe that's what it says, then you have to go into the lake of fire if you're a liar. So you see how that application can be twisted. If you're saved, you're not called a liar ever, because you would end up in the lake of fire. You could lose your salvation. And we know we have eternal security. Verse 5, "But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him." Okay? Again, those that have had repentance towards God, which is a command, and have faith toward the Lord Jesus, in that person is the love of God perfected. How? It's brought to the outside. It's brought to the outside by God, so that it's applied in a person's life. Look, if you would, in Philippians. Philippians 2:12. The Bible says, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." How do we do this? "For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure." Okay? And so if you've trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, there are going to be some things that pop up in your life to show you that you're in Christ. Folks, this is the Bible now, okay? It's going to happen. It's going to happen. And in other words, there's going to be evidence. There's going to be evidence that you've received Jesus Christ as your Savior. You cannot tell me that there's no evidence, because I believe the Bible, folks. And it's going to come out. It's going to be made manifest. And if you're asking me to believe you over the Bible, we have to believe the Bible, okay? Because that's where our authority comes from. We have authority there. God has given us this authority. And He's given us some things to look at in our own lives, also in the lives of others. Now, would I dare go as far as to say, well, look at that person and he's unsaved because he... I think you can take it to the extreme. I mean, really, God is the only one that knows, but man sees things from the outside. And man sees evidence of an unsaved man when he sees certain works happening in a person's life, okay? And that's the Bible. And we can judge things by that way. And the Bible's and so people don't need to have imaginations that you can be saved and there be no evidence, folks. Because the Bible clearly says that there is evidence, and John is going to show you some of that evidence. Okay. What's one of the fruit of the Holy Spirit? Name one. Love, joy, peace. Great. Galatians 5. Okay. Galatians 5. 22. Yeah. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Okay? One of the greatest attributes that God has ever shown toward man, is His love, folks. That's one of His greatest. Okay? And that He has shown towards man. And in the fact that He loved the world so much that He offered His own only begotten Son as a sacrifice for the world. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, and whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. John 3:16. And so, isn't it a wonder that one of the first fruit of the Holy Spirit, is walking in the Spirit, is love. One of the fruit of the Spirit, love. Love. Go back, if you would, to John. 1 John. Chapter 2, verse 6. He that saith he abideth in Him ought himself also to walk even as He walked. Okay? Do you abide in Jesus? Well, if you do, there will be some fruit that comes with abiding in Him. There will be. Look, if you would, in John 15:4. John 15:4. There will be some fruit. The Bible says, "Abide in Me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in Me." Okay? So, there's some fruit that's going to appear in a person's life, folks, by abiding in Jesus. Okay? And if you're not in Christ, there's not going to be any fruit. Not any fruit of the Holy Spirit. If you're in Christ, there's going to be much fruit. If you're abiding in Him, verse 5, "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in Me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without Me, ye can do nothing." Okay? So no abiding in Christ, nothing. Abiding in Christ, much. Okay? So this one guy put it this way. Remember the Yugo, and they said Yugo around the block? You can't put a supercharged V8 engine in a Yugo and nothing happened to it, folks. And you don't put a God as big as He is in somebody as tiny as we are and nothing happened. There's going to be some fruit that comes out of that, folks, for abiding in Him, even if it's for that moment that you trusted Him as your Savior. Okay? You abided Him at that point. And so, the first fruit of the Spirit is love, and it's love toward another. It's love toward another. If you don't like that, I don't know what to tell you, folks, but the Bible is going to get into where you. That's one of the evidences that you're going to see in a person's life, is that they love somebody else. Okay, and you're never going to have full joy until you're able to abide in Jesus Christ. Look, if you would, in verse 11 of John chapter 15. "These things have I spoken unto you, that My joy might remain in you, that your joy might be full." Verse 10, look at what it is. "If ye keep My commandments, ye shall abide in My love, even as I have kept My Father's commandments and abide in His love." And you read down and you see what His commandments are. You see it. "Greater love hath no man than this," verse 13, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of my Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. Okay? First fruit of the Holy Spirit. First fruit of the Spirit, of walking in the Spirit. Love. Okay? What did Jesus Christ show to the world? His love. And what are we to show to the world? His love through us. And that's what it boils down to here, folks. And that is one of the evidences that you're abiding in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's abiding in you. And the reason why John is writing this epistle is why? So your joy may be full. And if you're not keeping that commandments, the commandments that Jesus just laid down as he kept his Father's commandments, verse 11 of John 15 says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." You're not going to have full joy if you're not loving one another. And you say, well, what's the definition of one another? Is that just brethren in the church? No. No, I don't think so, folks. I think one another, the Bible says, to love thy neighbor as thyself. Right? Love one another. Love brother. As we're going to get ready to read, love brother. Okay? Well, who's your brother if you're not saved? Who do we come from? We come from Adam, right? Who's your brother if you are saved? You still come from Adam, folks. Even though you're born again, who's your brother? Now, you have brothers in Christ, but you have also brothers that stem back to Adam. And so your brother is everybody. And we're to love one another, right? That's one of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And so, how does Jesus Christ walk? First John, let's see what it says again. I got to keep going back there. The Bible says, "He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked." And so you find how Jesus Christ walked in John 15:10. You find how he walked. And he was keeping God's commandments. And all those that abide in him should likewise walk according to the way Jesus walked. And Jesus gave us what his commandments were, to love one another. And so Jesus sums up all the law, and he sums up all the prophets as loving the Lord thy God, which is the first commandment, right? With all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and to love thy neighbor as thyself. Matthew 22:37 through 40. And so you can't have one without the other, folks. You can't love your neighbor without loving God. I don't think your flesh will allow you to do that. Right? Because you can do nothing without the Lord, without Jesus Christ. He just said that. You can't love your neighbor. You can't love everybody that comes across your path, that does you wrong, that hurts you, that says something against you, if you're not in the Lord, if you're not abiding in him. And just likewise, if you love your neighbor, it's only because you love God, right? You can't have one without the other. It just doesn't go that way. And so if you love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, then you'll love your neighbor even when he's done something wrong. And that's how that will apply in a tribulation. A Jew in the tribulation, if he doesn't love God, he's not going to love his neighbor. Not when conditions are the way they are. It's going to be made manifest. There's going to be some manifestation that he loves the Lord. Verse 7 of 1 John. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. It should be no surprise to you what this commandment is in verse 7, right? Jesus Christ gave it in John 13:34. He gave this commandment. John 13:34. The Bible says, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. Right? That's a new commandment there. But is that a new commandment? I don't think that it is. But it says it is. But it looks like this new commandment is the same as the old commandment. That's what it looks like, folks. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Jesus Christ, he gives you a new commandment there. Okay, Paul gives a commandment in Romans 13:8. John's not giving you anything new. He's telling you what Jesus told you. He's telling you what Paul told you. Romans 13:8. He's not giving you something new. Romans 13:8. The Bible says, owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Fulfilled the law. And not only that, but John gives you the same thing in 1 John 3:23 and 2 John 5. He says the same thing. This is the commandment. Love one another. Right? And so, that's what he's telling you. There's going to be some evidence in a person's life if you don't love one another, your brethren, right? You're walking in darkness, the Bible says. Again, verse 8, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. And we just read the one in 13:34. But if you look, John adds something else to that in 1 John 3:23. And this is the commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another. So it appears as though John adds that to this love one another. You got to first do this, right? Okay, verse 9. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness, even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness, in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. And so here is this evidence. First, you got one evidence up in verse 6, is that he that abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walk, right? Keeping his commandments. Right? Love one another. Obeying the Lord. There's evidence of you knowing Jesus and abiding in him by you obeying what he says. That's an evidence. That's hereby know we that we are in him. You can know that by the obedience you have towards the scriptures, towards what Jesus says. Okay? Not only that, but you can know that you're abiding in Jesus by how you're treating one another. You can know that. You cannot be in darkness and in Jesus Christ at the same time, folks. And so I'm going to propose this to you. Again, remember, you have a body, soul, and a spirit. Okay? An unsaved man, he's got a body, soul, and a spirit also, but it seems like they're all connected, except for the spirit. And the spirit might be connected at that point, but when he dies, the spirit goes back to God. But it appears as though they're all connected. There's an operation of God. We all know about that, where there's a dividing of the soul and the spirit and of the bone and the marrow. Right? We know about that that operation. And so here you have this guy, the soul right in the middle. And he's teetering towards the flesh and towards the spirit, right? And would you purposely hurt yourself? Knowingly purposely hurt yourself? Would you purposely lie to yourself? Would you purposely say some bad things about yourself to others? I mean, would you purposely do that? Well, no, the Bible says no man yet hateth his own flesh, folks. No man, right? But nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church, Ephesians 5:22. And so when you find a person hating somebody else, right, that could be with neglect. Hate is defined as neglect in the Bible, folks. And hate is also defined as not taking care of something or hurting something, right? It's defined as that. When you purposely, when you find somebody purposely doing that that to somebody else, folks, you're finding somebody that is hating one another. And you can make some judgment calls there. Is this person really saved? Is this person walking in darkness? Well, we know that. The Bible says that. But could he be saved? Yeah, he could be. He could be. And there's the soul walking in the darkness while they're hurting that person, right? He's saved, but he's walking in darkness. He's saved, but his soul is in darkness. Remember, the soul is not completely redeemed yet. Your spirit is redeemed. The soul is not. So the soul can make these decisions and be actually in darkness and out of Jesus at the time. That's the Bible, folks. He can be. There's a war there. You can be walking in the flesh. Galatians. What's some of the works of the flesh? Hatred is one of them. Hatred. And do you realize that you cannot inherit the kingdom of God while you're doing those things? While you're hating your brother? What's the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is within you, right? What's the fruit of the Spirit? If you walk in the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Do you realize the kingdom of God, you can actually forfeit an inheritance of the kingdom of God right here on this earth while you are alive? If you're walking in the flesh, you can forfeit an inheritance that God wants to give you today. You're going to get it later on in the millennium if you're saved. You're going to get it there, right? But you can have it here. And if you hate your brother, you're giving up you're forfeiting some of the kingdom of inheritance of the kingdom of God today on this earth while you walk. Because you're walking in the flesh. If you walk in the Spirit, guess what? What you're going to get in the millennium, you can have today. Isn't that amazing? That's amazing. And so, 1 John chapter 2, verses 9 through 11, an unsaved person is walking in darkness. He can't love his brother. A saved person, he can walk in darkness. His soul can. And while he's doing that, guess what he's giving up? An inheritance. You get out of that, repent, confess your sins, and he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and guess what? You can get into that inheritance. You go back, you're going to lose that inheritance, right? And so, Bible's very clear here, folks. Unsaved person is called a liar. An unsafe or a saved person can never be called a liar. Unsaved person is in darkness and abideth in darkness and walks in darkness. A saved person, soul, can choose to walk in that darkness. But his spirit is still saved, folks. And that soul is not going to be charged with any sin when Jesus Christ comes back, because he's been bought and paid for. And the body is going to be changed. Okay? And we'll go ahead and stop there. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for your words. And hopefully it was clear, but sometimes the person just gets in the way and it just becomes unclear. But hopefully you clear it up. And we thank you for the church, Lord. And we pray that you would just bless the services today. For Christ's sake, amen.